It is with a mix of emotions that we gather here this morning, at least that I gather. The joy, life continues to move forward, the adventure of it all, the mission, the ministry. And this week, maybe more than most, we're aware of the challenges that we are facing as Christ Church in this world, as a nation, a society, even in our communities like Falcon Heights. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you for your presence here. Long before we woke up this morning, you were at work in our world. Long before any of us came into being, you were at work in our world. And we thank you that your work goes on beyond us here. God, help us to join in with the good that you are doing. And help us to trust you every step of the way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to go ahead and invite the children to go at this time with Mrs. Gertz over here to Children's Church, or they can stay with their families. There's a verse that most of you have probably heard before. It's the first beatitude in Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, there's nothing very attractive about being poor. I think most of us would agree we'd rather have a nice car than a car that is falling apart. We'd rather have shelter than not have shelter. We'd rather have clothes than not have food. It's good. It's not because those things aren't good that the poor in spirit are blessed. It's because the poor in spirit, and often it's the poor, who are aware that good as things might be, comfortable, secure as things might seem to be, it's the poor in spirit who are aware that there should be more, could be more to our world, to our lives, than what we've grown accustomed to. I think for many of us, we pray the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, but we're, for the most part, pretty happy as relatively wealthy people. Most of us white here in America, to say, yeah, but this kingdom's okay. I don't mind it. It's only when things really become tumultuous, when the life we're living in right now becomes uncomfortable, that we begin to think, maybe another kingdom would be good. Maybe God's will would be good to see happen here. Today, I think most of us come here poor in spirit, more aware today than maybe we were a week ago that this world is broken. That we should be, could be, want to be doing better. Today, we gather and we remember Levante King Jason Jones, a 2-year-old, killed in northeast Minneapolis. Today we remember before God Dallas police officers, Brent Thompson, Patrick Zamaripa, Michael Kroll, Mike Smith, in Lorne, Athens. Today we remember before God Philando Castile. Here in, who lost his life in Falcon Heights. Today we remember Alton Sterling, who died in Baton Rouge. Today we remember well over 100 people killed in South Sudan. We remember 40 or so people who were killed in a shrine by a suicide bomber in Iraq. Today we remember Pastor John Zaramba Kiruga, the head of the Covenant Church in Kenya, who was killed by a terrorist group on his way home from facilitating a peacemaking training, working for peace between Christians and Muslims. Today, we remember, O God, these people and the long list of others who have lost their lives amidst the violence, the racism, the anger. The division of our world. And we pray, God, that as we come to you poor in spirit this morning, that you would meet us here and that you would speak to us, strengthen us, equip us somehow by your spirit and your word, by the encouragement of one another, to go into the world as your children, as peacemakers. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Kiruga, he's like the president of the Covenant Church in Kenya. They call him the moderator. He had gone to this town to facilitate a peacemaking training. It was sponsored, the training that he was doing was sponsored by a grant from Covenant World Relief. It's an organization that we as a church give to. And in fact, many of us individually give to that organization as well. They do phenomenal work around the world, including supporting peacemaking efforts in Kenya. He had just written a few days before he was murdered to the head of Covenant World Relief, Dave Huseby. His email said this: "I'm at Garissa, a town in Kenya. We had a very good peace seminar since yesterday. Heading to Mandera tomorrow. Pray for us. Pray for Kenya. Mandera is not that safe for now. But we must preach peace at all cost. John." Pray for us. Pray for Kenya. We must preach peace at all cost. You know, amidst the violence over the last few years, there's been some who have ridiculed the idea of people gathering for prayer. You know, it's time for action. What's with this prayer? You're just avoiding what needs to happen. As though the choice before us is an either-or choice. You know, this dichotomy that either you're going to pray or you're going to take action. But as followers of Jesus Christ, as people of the Word, there's no choice to be made there. We pray and we take action. So often in our world, when we try to divide up these things into either-or questions, we're asking the wrong question. We're just making up an excuse not to do what we need to be doing. I mean, what's the choice? Black lives matter or police lives matter? Are you kidding me? We got to choose? As soon as we start choosing, we start going to our separate corners, and we increase our defensiveness, and we get more and more angry and more violent toward each other. It's when we're separating out like that that we lack any kind of humility, any kind of poverty of spirit that would open us up to learning, to growing, to figuring out that as good as America is, maybe America's got some learning to do, some growing to do as well. Can we say both of those things? Does it have to be either or? America's great. Or America's horrible? Do we have to? Is that the only choice? Can't we in humility say, we're so blessed, we're so thankful, we're so grateful, and we've got a long way to go. We're going to learn by God's grace with some humility among us. Any of you who have students in school, teachers or parents, you know that it's the lack of humility that keeps a student from growing, from learning. Isn't that right? You know, I already know all this. How often have you as a parent had that conversation? And here we are, the children of God, and we've got it so together that we're not going to learn. We're not going to come humbly before God and say, help us. This is a time for prayer. This is a time for prayer. The prophets make it clear in the Old Testament. The problem of the people is that they're not listening to God. They're not humbling themselves before God. They're not confessing their sins, and they're not open to God moving them in a new direction. The prophet Amos preaches to the king of Judah. And he says, you continue on this path, and it's going to lead to your destruction. And so you know what the king does? He tries to banish Amos. Isn't that what we do when prophets speak to us? When somebody says, look, things aren't right. We need to do better. Our sin is destroying us. Our racism is destroying us. Our divisions are destroying us. Our anger is destroying us. And we say, as soon as somebody says, no, that's not so, we want to banish the prophets. We don't want to listen. The very first thing we need to do is to humble ourselves before God and to open ourselves up to the grace of God. Over the coming several weeks this summer, we're going to be talking about Daniel. Man in the Old Testament who was exiled to Babylon. That exile, the scriptures tell us, was the consequence of the people of Judah, people of Israel, not listening to God, not humbling themselves before God, not following the path of God, not acting in particular with justice, with care for the oppressed. For the poor and the hungry. Amos talks about how the king is kind of building his nice mansion and not paying even those who are building it. Building his great wealth on the backs of others who don't have that opportunity. It might be something for us to hear from the prophet Amos. The prophet Jeremiah. He writes to the people of Judah, and he says that this sin will have its consequence. Following this path is going to lead to your destruction. You're going to be driven off into Babylon, into exile. And yet he also says to the people that as you go off into exile, you need to be rooted in God. Now, this is one of the key points I want us to hear this morning. That as Daniel goes off to Babylon, and as we go on in this world, we in our own way are living in a foreign land too. We know that this isn't our home. The kingdom of God, that's what we long for. That's where we want to live. We live in this foreign land, and like Daniel, we've got to figure out, as the prophet Jeremiah tells us, how to be rooted in God wherever we are, in the midst of whatever's going in our lives. So we come together to pray this morning to make sure we're rooted in God so that good fruit can flow through our lives. You've heard me share these verses before. This is from Jeremiah chapter 17. After having said that cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord, he says this: blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. My prayer for us this summer as we go through this series is that we'll practice making sure our roots are deep into the love and life and word of God in the midst of this time of exile, of living in a foreign land. That as we go into the midst of whatever our circumstances would be, we would make sure that in the midst of all the mayhem around us, the storms, the confusion, that at the bottom line, we're being rooted in God. This is my prayer for our students as we go off to Ecuador. We'll be in a foreign land, and that we'll practice in that foreign land being rooted in God, wherever we are, whatever is going on. Does that make sense? So I want to invite you this morning, if you feel so led, you could even write this down. It's an acronym I've been thinking about for the last couple weeks. Roots. You know how important it is for us to have roots. And that we would practice every day, everywhere we go, making sure our roots are deep into the Lord. And so the first thing would be to be rooted, to be resting in God, to just start there in the midst of the mayhem, to be still and know who God is. Then to open our hearts before God, to confess our sins, to lament before God, to pray to God, to share our heart with God. Then to open our minds to God's word, to let God's word into us, to shape us and transform us. And then to talk with God with thanksgiving about how God's word would lead us to live in this day, in this world. And then finally, that we'd go forward into the day to serve God. So I want to take some time this morning, actually, to practice this, because I think in the midst of the mayhem of our world, this is what we need to be practicing even this morning as we worship. In the last service, what I did was have our people take out their hymnals. If you haven't noticed, if you haven't taken a look at one, I'd encourage you to take a look at our hymnals. They're full of wonderful hymns and also psalms and also prayers. And especially at times when we're not sure how to pray, what to pray, it's good to have a book. It's good to have a place to go to give us some guidance. And so what I want to do this morning, kind of following that ROOTS acronym, is take time to pray together, using some of the prayers that are in the back of our hymnal. Since we're not using the hymnal, I've actually tweaked them slightly, but you get the idea. We'll start just by being silent, that rest. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. Take deep breaths in the midst of all that's been going on in your lives in this world, and pray that God's Spirit would root you deeply in God's grace. And then let us open our hearts to God in a prayer of thanksgiving. Would you pray with me? God, it's not up there yet. Prayer of thanksgiving, if we can move it forward. Do you see it? I have so many slides this morning. I don't usually preach this way, but because I wanted to do this, it's going to be a little more confusing for him. So let's offer grace back there too. Or maybe it's me who sent them a... There it is. Okay, let's pray this together. God, companion of the lonely, binder of wounds, seeker of lost souls, friend of the poor, source of all that is, forgiver of sins, voice of the voiceless, counselor of the confused, shelter from the storm, creator of heaven and earth, we thank you for your presence among us and worship you with grateful hearts. Amen. Let us be still for a moment. And then we'll continue on with a prayer of confession. Would you pray with me? Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart, and we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. And we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your ways and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name and the good of our neighbors. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us be still and pray silently. In the first letter of John, we hear these words. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Rejoice, your sins are forgiven. And now let us continue with a prayer of lament. A lament is a way of just crying out to God in the midst of our pain and confusion. We'll read this one responsively. I'll read the first two lines there and invite you to read the rest. And the same will be true on the next slide as well. Why, Lord, must evil seem to get its way? The wicked mock your name and laugh at our dismay. Together, remember your righteous judgments on behalf of the poor and oppressed. Hear this lament. Transform the damage into good and show us your glory hidden in this evil. Why, Lord, must any child of yours be hurt, filled with pain and sorrow undeserved, while we stand by so helplessly together? Remember how you rescued your people from bondage and healed their wounds. Hear this lament. Repair the brokenness we share and speak your mighty word to give us hope. Amen. Invite you to a moment of silent prayer as you share your lament, your confusion, your cries with God. And then let us continue opening our hearts in prayer by praying this prayer of petition together. I'll read the first line and then invite you on this first slide to read the second two lines. In the following slides, there is a compassionate God deliver us that I'll invite you to pray. O God, sovereign of the universe, without you nothing is true, nothing is just. In your word, you reveal the way of love. By your spirit, you make the way of love possible. From greed and selfishness, from a society in which the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. From racial prejudice and religious intolerance. From a society which makes its weakest and most recent members into scapegoats. From indifference to the needs of other countries, from the delusion that you love any other nation or people less than you love us. From self-indulgence and indifference, from a society in which fidelity and responsibility have little place. Let us pray together. Author of life, give us hearts set on the coming of your reign and the faith to live now by your kingdom's values. Give us wise, just, and humble leaders, and give all of us, especially those of us who call ourselves by your name, a deep and persevering hunger for righteousness, justice, and peace for all, and the courage to pursue it. We pray through Jesus Christ, the one who reigns above all powers and dominions, now and forever. Having opened our hearts to God in prayer, let us also open our hearts and minds to God to listen. And I want to acknowledge right now that our time is running out. So if your hunger is driving you in a different direction to join the brunch or you have other places to go, please don't hesitate to do what you need to do right now. But if you are able, I would invite you to stay and to open your mind and heart, your life to the Word of God. This is the Word of God from Micah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. Words that are in our hymnal and words that speak to us in the midst of what we face today. Let us read this together. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? Let us repeat that last verse together. He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? And looking to the words of Jesus, the Beatitudes, let us read, let us listen as Jesus speaks to us. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Is there anything in this word that Jesus speaks that might be helpful for us as we find our way in today's world? The poor in spirit, those who mourn, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the peacemakers. The Apostle Paul, from the Message version, says this in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Let us read this second verse together. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. And these words from the Apostle Paul, as we seek to find our way amidst the challenges of our day, Paul says this in 1 Corinthians, I will show you a still more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is what? And the greatest of these is what? Let us take time to talk with God. Would you pray this prayer with me? Let us read and pray in unison. For the exploiter and the exploited, for the persecutor and the persecuted, for criminal and victim, God of perfect love, we pray. As we pray, remove the fear that makes us strident and vengeful, and take away the wooliness of thought that makes us sentimental and passive. Give us clear eyes to see the world as it is, and ourselves and all people as we are. But give us hope to believe in and pursue all that you intend all of us to be. We pray for children growing up with no sense of beauty, no feeling for what is good or bad or possible by your grace. And we pray for men and women who have lost faith and given up hope. We pray for governments who crush people's spirits and for governments slow to act in the cause of justice, freedom, development, and opportunity for all. We pray for our government and leaders, for our nation and society, for ourselves and our neighbors amidst the challenges of our day. And Lord, we pray for your church here and around the world, and for this world and all living in it, all whom you have called us to love in your name. We pray, giving thanks for your goodness and faithfulness, for your love made known in Christ Jesus, your truth confirmed in his death and resurrection, your promises to us and to all, keeping hope alive. By your grace and by your Spirit, let us go to our homes and communities, our work and our world, our relationships and all we do, stimulated by hope, strengthened by faith, directed by love, to play our part in the liberation and blessing of all people. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So may we be rooted, and may we go forward to serve the Lord in this world. Let us continue in prayer. God, as we offer to you now our gifts, hear the prayers of our hearts, that we might offer ourselves entirely in love to you and to our neighbors. Guide us, Lord, through these trying times. And thank you for waking us up to the possibility that your love, that your power, that your word can bring us in this world to a better time, a better place, where your glory is made known to all. Your goodness is the experience of all. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.